The Snyder Cut has a new trailer. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is coming back to the Scorpion King, and there is a sequel in the Sharkboy and Lavagirl universe, all coming up on live action remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and we have a lot to talk about. If you're a DC fan, you guys are going to be pretty happy this week because there is a lot of really fun DC news to talk about. I'm going to be going over some trailers, some movie news, TV news, what I'm currently watching, and a couple of recommendations for y'all. So why don't we get started with trailers? The first trailer I want to talk about is actually the Snyder Cut trailer. A second trailer came out today. Well, yesterday for you all. It comes out on Wednesdays, but the Snyder Cut trailer is basically pretty disappointing because it was the exact same trailer as the original with a few scenes thrown in as well. It didn't give us a release date. It didn't give us a new look at Martian Manhunter or more Deathstroke or anything particularly exciting. It just was a redone version of the original trailer. So it's a good trailer because Zack Snyder does good visuals and knows how to make good moments. But it doesn't give you that much extra. If you want to see it, you can check it out on our Facebook page at Live Action Remake. It does show one cool clip of Darkseid that I have to say that part got me a little bit more excited. But other than that, not a particularly good trailer. The second trailer I want to talk about is the Tom and Jerry trailer. They are doing a Tom and Jerry movie, and the first trailer came out. It's starring Michael Peña, Chloe Grace Moretz, Ken Jeong, and it doesn't look good. It looks like the Yogi Bear movie or like the Woody Woodpecker movie where they just took a really well-known, beloved animated set of characters and brought them in just to do some wacky hijinks. I'm kind of disappointed by it. I was a fan of the Tom and Jerry show when I was younger. I think it has some really good physical comedy, and all of the comedy in this film looks really not funny, so I'm kind of sad. Let me know what y'all think of those trailers. Now let's go on to movie news, starting with the fact that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is producing a Scorpion King reboot at Universal. This version is described as a contemporary take that is not set in the distant past like the original. Johnson will not reprise his role as the titular character, but may appear in the film in another capacity. I really hope they're not trying to set up the Dark Universe again through this somehow. I feel like Universal might do that. I actually never seen The Scorpion King. I do remember the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. I remember going on the ride at Universal Studio. I'm a fan, so let's see if they're bringing back Brendan Fraser and making this a part of that universe, please. Mads Mikkelsen is reportedly in talks to play Grindelwald and will replace Johnny Depp in Fantastic Beasts 3. Mads Mikkelsen is a very good actor. I know fans are still rallying behind Johnny Depp about this, so let me know what y'all think about that. Zack Snyder has teased Martian Manhunter's debut in the Justice League movie with some fan art. I really hope they bring Martian Manhunter into this Justice League Snyder Cut. If you didn't know, the plan was that the general in Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and Justice League was going to be Martian Manhunter all along. They do a very similar storyline like this in the Supergirl TV show, and they do it very well. I'm excited for Martian Manhunter. He's one of my favorite DC Comics characters. He was great in the original Justice League cartoons. Let's bring him in. Come on, bring him in. Make it the seven. We Can Be Heroes came out with a couple of images starring Pedro Pascal, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Christian Slater, and Boyd Holbrook. And this movie is from the original director of the Spy Kids films and Sharkboy and Lavagirl, Robert Rodriguez. This movie, We Can Be Heroes, is set in the Sharkboy and Lavagirl universe. My official theory is that Pedro Pascal is Sharkboy and Lavagirl's son, and I hope he has shark powers and lava powers. I'm really surprised how stacked this cast is, though. Pedro Pascal of The Mandalorian, Christian Slater from Mr. Robot, Priyanka Chopra, Boyd Holbrook. These are good actors. These are household names, and they're in the Sharkboy and Lavagirl universe. I know that movie is very, a lot of people are very fond of this movie, but it's a bad movie. Like, it's not a good film. It has some really campy performances, so I would like to see how this movie is connected to the original. MCU producer Victoria Alonso confirms that Chadwick Boseman will not be digitally doubled for Black Panther 2. I know that sometimes 2 months go by in production and one says already it was a long time, but it is not a long time. We have to think carefully about what we are going to do and how, and think about how we're going to honor the franchise, she says. They also have confirmed that Shuri is not confirmed to be Black Panther yet, or whether they will recast yet. There is no news about that. I know you may have seen a lot of articles about how Shuri is the future of Black Panther, and that is a really cool idea, but that is not news yet. We don't know for sure whether they're going to recast, or if they're going to make Shuri the Black Panther, or if there will even be a Black Panther too. I truly hope there is. I don't know the best way to go about this. I do know that T'Challa is a very important character in the Marvel Universe and very important to black and brown kids around the world. So I understand why they wouldn't recast, and I understand why they would make Shuri the Black Panther, but I personally want to see the rest of T'Challa's story. John M. Chu of Crazy Rich Asians fame is in talks to direct a live-action remake, that's one, of Lilo and Stitch. John M. Chu did a fantastic job with Crazy Rich Asians. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's a beautifully visual movie, and it's very, very funny. Amber Heard says she'll be back for Aquaman 2. Speaking on the rumors that Warner Brothers would be replacing her as Mira, she says they have no basis in reality. Now, if I were her, I wouldn't be talking right now. I don't think it's the time for her to be vocal about this. I would keep that under wraps. The internet community is not happy with her. And I've seen a lot of really cool fan art that maybe Emilia Clarke could replace her. I think she'd do a great job as Mira, in my opinion. Sylvester Stallone confirms he has been casted in the Suicide Squad, but in an undisclosed role. Please be King Shark. Please voice King Shark, Sylvester Stallone. Oh, that would be hilarious. Please. Chris Pratt is set to reprise his role in Thor: Love and Thunder, and actor Vin Diesel was also spotted in Australia, where the film is going to be filming, giving the impression that he may return as Groot. I love the fact that the Guardians are going to show up in Thor. I think they had a great relationship in Infinity War and Endgame. More Star-Lord, more Groot. Let's go. Denai Gurri has been cast as the first black congresswoman, Shirley Chisholm, in the film The Fighting Shirley Chisholm. This film takes place during her historic 1972 presidential run. I'm really excited for this. Big Denai Gurri fan, and as I've said before, I love a period piece. Chaos Walking, a sci-fi film starring Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland, has a new poster and a new synopsis reading. In the near future, Todd Hewitt has been brought up to believe that a pathogen has killed all women in a colony world and unleashed noise, the special ability to hear people's and animals' minds. Later, he comes upon a batch of silence and soon discovers the source of the silence, a mysterious woman named Viola Ade, the first he has ever met. On the run, they learn more about the true history of the New World. This movie was supposed to come out in March 2019, so Tom Holland looks way younger in the little bits of pieces of the teaser. This was supposed to come out 2 years ago. They filmed it a while ago. Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland are two great actors, so I'm excited for this one. Now on to TV news, starting with WandaVision has been given an official release date of January 15th on Disney+. They did us, guys. The MCU will not have anything new this year, 2020, which makes sense. It's 2020. It's been awful. But now we know when it's going to be coming out. January 15th will be when we get the MCU back officially. Peacemaker cast Danielle Brooks, best known for her work on Orange is the New Black, as Leota Adebayo. This character is not in DC Comics, so we don't know much about her, but Danielle Brooks is a great actress, so I'm excited for that. The Fresh Prince reunion is happening much sooner than we expected. It will be on HBO Max November 19th. A trailer dropped giving a glimpse that has some callbacks, a few extra stories, you know, the usual. It's a reunion. If you love the old show, you're gonna probably be pretty interested in the reunion. Emily in Paris has been renewed at Netflix for season 2. I'm just bringing this up because I just remember about the Luminati's thing from one of our first episodes. I just thought that was funny. CW reportedly is looking to make a spin-off show from Black Lightning, Painkiller, which will star Jordan Calloway reprising his role as Painkiller. The backdoor pilot will be in the 7th episode of the 4th season that will premiere February 2021. Painkiller has been a main character since the beginning of the show. I only saw the first 2 seasons of this show. His powers and his story is pretty interesting. He basically is a good kid who ends up having to become a villain, and then turns back to a hero eventually. He has a really cool look and some cool powers, so I'm excited about that. DC and the CW are also developing a Wonder Girl series that will have a Latina lead playing the character Yara Flor, which is the Wonder Woman of the future slate. That means we will be having our first Latinx lead in the Arrowverse, which is pretty cool. Not only that, the inclusion of Wonder Girl implies the inclusion of Wonder Woman, and we have seen through the Arrowverse that when they bring in a Supergirl or a Batwoman or a Wonder Girl now, they usually come along with Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. Now we will officially have the Trinity in the Arrowverse, which is pretty exciting. We're getting closer to the OG Justice League in the Arrowverse, which is not something that could have happened just a few years ago, so that's pretty cool. And that's all the TV news I had for this week. Let me know what y'all think. Let me know what y'all thought about the movie news. And let's move on to what I'm currently watching. This weekend, I was delighted to find a new show that was recommended through a podcast I listened to called Mr. Sunday Movies, called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. Now, this is a skit show that is unconventional to other sketch shows, as it plays as if it is one storyline throughout a whole episode following three friends, but they often break off into weird 5 to 6 minute moments of skit, or even 2 to 3 minute moments of skit, and it goes off the rails. They have a lot of music, a lot of twists and turns in their scenes. I was crying laughing. At one point, I was holding my stomach and just in so much pain of how much I was laughing. There's only 6 episodes in the season. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend you watch it. It took me 2 hours to get through the whole thing, but it was such a delight. I have so many favorite skits that I wish I could tell you about, but I want you all to watch it. They have a lot of good guest stars like Ed Helms. Weird Al Yankovic is on it for just a very small moment. I always forget his name. Dopinder from Deadpool is on the show for a small moment, playing Jerry Seinfeld for some reason. Kristen Shaw. There are a lot of really good actors on the show that just come in and just have a little bit of fun with these three weirdos. Definitely go check out Auntie Donna's House of Fun. After that, I had that taste for skits and shows, so I tried to watch The Chappelle Show, and it didn't sit well with me. I think it's definitely a product of his time, and as you know, as we move forward, comedy changes, and things that are acceptable are no longer acceptable over time. And so it just didn't sit as well as I thought it could have. So I decided to go with something still a little bit back in the day, but not as much. And so I started rewatching Key and Peele, which was a product of my high school years. It's a lot of fun. They have a lot of funny, weird skits. It's similar to SNL, except I think that they are shot much better. And Key and Peele have a much funnier relationship and much stronger connections that makes the comedy just advance so much more. And it has those funny twists and turns, kind of like Auntie Donna, just maybe not as weird and not as wacky. It's still a lot of fun. I don't laugh as hard as Auntie Donna, but it's still a very good show. So if you want to watch Key and Peele, it's actually on Hulu. All seasons are on Hulu. Go check that out as well. Have a little bit of fun nowadays. I'm trying to have a little bit more laughs now. I think it's a good habit to have. Okay, guys, we're going to be talking The Mandalorian now. A new episode dropped on Disney Plus. So if you haven't seen it, pause this episode so you can go watch the show and come back so we can talk spoilers, because there are a lot of things to talk about. Starting in 3, 2, 1. Bo-Katan has entered The Mandalorian. The character from The Clone Wars and Rebels is now a part of the live-action Star Wars universe, played by Katie Sackhoff, who voiced her in The Clone Wars and Rebels. I'm pretty excited, like, to see new Mandalorians come aboard and help out Mando. That was awesome. Well, let's start from the beginning. I just really wanted to get that off my chest. But Mando, of course, comes back from the Razor Crest being destroyed, basically, and reunites the Frog Lady with her frog husband and is led to a ship that's supposed to lead him to other Mandalorians. Of course, those pirates try to kill Baby Yoda, which, for the first time in a long time, I, like, visibly gasped. Like, I like when Baby Yoda nearly gets eaten by that monster, I was like, no. Imagine if that's where Baby Yoda's story ended. That would have been hilarious in a sad way. But no, new Mandalorians come aboard and save Mando. And he is shocked when they take off their helmets, revealing that he was saved by Death Watch. Death Watch Mandalorians. This was kind of hinted at in the last season, but it's confirmed that he is not necessarily part of, like, the same Mandalorians that we've seen through Clone Wars and Rebels. He is a different kind of zealot, almost, of Death Watch, which was taken over by Darth Maul. Which... That's a pretty cool backstory. I'm excited about how that's going to come to fruition. I hope we see more Darth Maul Mandalorians with the Darth Maul-like helmets from the end of Clone Wars. I want to see more of that in this season, but hopefully that happens. I digress. We also learned that Bo-Katan is looking for the Darksaber, held by Moff Gideon, of course, and she wants to retake Mandalore, which is possibly where this show is going to be going after Baby Yoda is gone, after Mando gives him to the Jedi or gives it to Ahsoka Tano. Perhaps Mando will be the one who reclaims Mandalore for Bo-Katan, or maybe he will reclaim Mandalore. I don't know where this season's going exactly, but it's going to end probably with a war of some kind on Mandalore. I think that's where they're heading with this. Maybe not this season, but maybe next season. We also finally get a confirmation that Ahsoka Tano will be in this season. Bo-Katan leads him to a place that will get him to Ahsoka Tano. I was hoping that she would say Ezra Bridger, and that Mando would actually be the one who finds Ezra and gives him Baby Yoda. But alas, we get Ahsoka. That's still cool. Rosario Dawson has been rumored to play her. That's a great casting. I'm excited to see Ahsoka in real life. This episode was much better than last episode. If you heard my last episode of Live Action Remake, you'll know I wasn't a big fan of the last episode. But this episode has a lot more promise and a lot more Clone Wars. A lot more to be excited about in general. So overall, I like this episode. It's probably my favorite of the season so far. I loved the introduction of Bo-Katan. I love new Mandalorians interacting and making him feel like maybe he isn't living the Mandalorian way that he thought he was. I love the character conflict, so let me know what y'all thought of the new episode. Are y'all excited for this week? I really hope we get Ahsoka this week. Probably by the end of the season, for sure, but let's hope for Ahsoka sooner than later. Now, in honor of the Justice League trailer, which just dropped, I want to do something a little bit fun for me and do a casting. Now, I love to cast comic book characters. Ever since I was younger, I love the idea whenever they bring out a new movie, I'm like, oh, who would make a great Captain America? Who would make a great Iron Man? And so forth. I've been right only a few times in my life. So I wanted to do this for the Justice League because I think the Justice League overall could be elevated by a different cast. I think Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot are amazing as their characters. I think Batman could be replaced. I don't think Wonder Woman can be replaced. I think that is too perfect of a casting. Too amazing. Can you think of anyone who could play Wonder Woman better? I truly cannot in my head. I can't think of anyone who is more perfect for the role. So she is the only one that I'm not going to cast. I would say Ben Affleck's Batman as well. But Batman has been recasted so many times and changed so many times. You can do different variations of the character. And that is okay to have a different Batman. It's not okay to have a different, not as good Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? So I'm going to recast Batman as well. My version is 7 characters. The only character I took out from the original Justice League was Cyborg. And not because I don't love Ray Fisher and Cyborg. I love that character. And I love Ray Fisher as that character. I just don't think Cyborg is a main Justice League member. Cyborg is a main Teen Titan. And save him for a Teen Titans movie. Come on, guys. Like, that's your second best franchise. But my 7 is actually Batman, Superman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Green Lantern, and Martian Manhunter. Now let's start with Batman. My version of Batman would be the reluctant superhero, the one that doesn't want to be a part of the Justice League and doesn't see a need for the Justice League and sees it more as the potential to go bad than to be good. I think that has always been Batman's place as a reluctant member who starts to understand why they're necessary, but doesn't necessarily want to have both feet in. He has one foot out the door all the time, right? That's Batman's role. He's not the one who assembles them like Ben Affleck does. That's not Batman's role. Superman and Wonder Woman assemble the team. So my version of Batman's a little grittier, a little bit darker, and I'd go with Carl Urban. Carl Urban has that darkness. He has the nerds. Everyone in nerd culture loves Carl Urban for one reason or another. He is great in Star Trek. He is great in Dread. He is great in The Boys. And I think he's a really good team player as far as acting goes. Very humble. And he hasn't been given that bigger than life role. He's been given Dread and other things, but he's always underestimated. And I think he would thrive as Batman in this dark, gritty role. Give him Batman, please. Superman was probably the hardest character I had to cast in this one because Superman embodies hope and embodies peace and goodness, and it's hard to find that right range of that with someone who can also be intimidating and also can be a symbol for the American way in the best ways that means. Chris Evans does that very well as Captain America. They found the perfect balance for that. Superman is hard because he has that look as well, the black hair. He's got to be bigger. He's got to be stronger. Henry Cavill looks just like Superman, but I don't think he embodies those same things. So I'm going to stray away a little bit from looks, and I'm going to go with Armie Hammer. Now, if you know anything about Armie Hammer, you may know that he was actually casted as Batman for the original Justice League movie, Justice League Immortal. So he has a connection to the Justice League. He would have also been a choice for me for possibly Aquaman, but I think just because of his size and his strength and the goodness in his voice, Armie Hammer could embody Superman a lot better than Henry Cavill ever did. One thing you should know about me, I do not like Henry Cavill as Superman. He is not a good Superman to me at all. Brandon Routh is a better one. But Armie Hammer just has that potential to carry a franchise as well. My choice would be Armie Hammer. Now for The Flash, who is my favorite Justice League member, I wanted to go with someone a little bit energetic, a little nerdy, a little bit of a weirdo, has a distinct voice to play Wally West. Wally West would be the Justice League member from the animated series. That is the kind of Flash I'm going for. Someone a little bit funny, a little bit quippy. I think Ezra Miller does a good job of playing the awkward weirdness of the Flash, but not necessarily the quippy funniness that the Flash needs. And he needs a little bit more, he just needs like a little bit more belief in himself. That's what I think he needs. And I think Dave Franco really embodies that. He has the comedy. He has the charm, the wit. He's still awkward and weird, but you could see him being confident as well and holding his own with other Justice League members. So Dave Franco would be Wally West for me. Aquaman was also difficult for me. When the Justice League did Aquaman, they were smart with going with a much different version than the comic book version, because Aquaman is often a punchline. I don't think that if you read the comics now, Aquaman is no longer a punchline. He's very cool and strong and powerful, and he could be that if you stay with the comic book version. You could change the narrative by keeping him the blonde, orange suit, and all that, instead of going with the long brown hair and the gritty voice and kind of the Wolverine kind of vibe. I don't want that for my Aquaman. I want a classic Aquaman. So I went with Ryan Gosling, who I think can be that royal version of Aquaman, but I think he can also be that very human, cocky, I'm the strongest person in the room most of the time Aquaman as well. He'll be a more balanced version than the comic book and the Jason Momoa version. And again, I think he can carry a franchise. I want people who can spin off, and then I can see Ryan Gosling being Aquaman for a couple more years, fighting Black Manta and Ocean Master for a while. I think Ryan Gosling could go toe-to-toe with Chris Hemsworth's Thor to carry this franchise. Next, I went to Green Lantern. And Green Lantern has a checkered past because of the Ryan Reynolds movie. So I think the best way to go about this would be to stray away from the Ryan Reynolds version of Green Lantern. Don't do Hal Jordan. Just don't do it. Let's add some persons of color. Let's do Lakeith Stanfield as our Green Lantern, John Stewart. My favorite Green Lantern. Lakeith Stanfield is a phenomenal actor. He could play a soldier. He could play the strong man who is now thrust into the world of gods and kind of feel out of place out of everyone. And he could be fearless and strong and add a more military style to the Justice League. I think Lakeith Stanfield can do all of that and ground the character as well. Lakeith Stanfield grounds all of his characters in every film while adding a little bit of his own flavor to the character. So please make Lakeith Stanfield a superhero in general. He's a great actor. If you haven't seen him in Atlanta or Sorry to Bother You, check out both of those because he is incredible. Or Get Out. He plays a small role in Get Out. He's truly a standout. And I think he deserves a role like Green Lantern. And he could make Jon Stewart a household name. Finally, I went with Martian Manhunter, who is, again, I brought him up earlier. I'm very excited to see this character in live action. He's a great character. They do him well on Supergirl. I don't know who you would play for the physical actor. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who could play him physically, but I'm talking more voice and his human form. Andre Browner from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you may know him as Captain Holt, has the most amazing voice and would do a perfect Martian Manhunter. He has that kind of not so human, I don't really fit in here, but I have this wisdom to myself in his voice. He has all of that. And he could bring a lot of wisdom to Superman, Armie Hammer Superman, about being an alien and what that means in the grand scheme of things and being the last of his kind. He could really connect with Armie Hammer, and they could have some really great scenes in that. And I would love Andre Browner to be doing that. And a lot of comedy could come out of how he doesn't really understand human culture. There was a lot of that. Except it's not like Vision, where Vision's a robot and trying to figure it out and calculate it. It's more like Martian Manhunter is just really trying to find out the culture in general. To sum it up, we got Carl Urban as Batman, Armie Hammer as Superman, Dave Franco as The Flash, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, Ryan Gosling as Aquaman, Lakeith Stanfield as Green Lantern, and Andre Browner as Martian Manhunter. That would be my seven. I think they would go up against Brainiac. I haven't really thought about who could play Brainiac, but I think that movie, that seven, would be better than the ones we have right now in the Justice League. But let me know what y'all think. Do you guys have anyone else that you thought would be cool in one of these roles? Let me know. I love to cast. And let me know if you like this. And if you want me to cast anyone else, I'll cast the Fantastic Four. I'll recast Spider-Man. I'll recast everybody. I love to do this. Let me know what y'all thought. Finally, I wanted to finish off with a couple of recommendations, like I usually do. I'm actually going to recommend a whole trilogy of movies. Now, if you get a chance to watch any one of these three movies, that's good because they all stand alone. They are loosely connected. until the final film, which also is in its own way a standalone film. I'm talking about the Israel 177 trilogy, which consists of Unbreakable, Split, and then Glass. Unbreakable was a film from 2000 starring Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. The film revolves around a man who believes that he may be superhuman and another man trying to convince him so. It's a psychological drama. It's a very different type of superhero movie, but it's still one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. It stars Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis in arguably their best roles for me. And this film was so unappreciated during its time that it took 17 years to make a sequel. It didn't make a lot of money at the box office. It made enough money, but people thought that the film was supposed to be like The Sixth Sense because Bruce Willis worked on this film with M. Night Shyamalan. When it wasn't The Sixth Sense and it wasn't the thriller that they were hoping for, people were very upset, so they didn't end up liking the film as much. And as time went on, the film became a cult classic. Fast forward to 2017. M. Night Shyamalan has one of the worst three career bad moves in a row, with like The Happening and Last Airbender, After Earth. So he has a comeback film with this film, Split, with James McAvoy playing 24 different personalities in one human being who is also a killer. There's a lot to it. It's a great film, Split. A psychological thriller, definitely. And James McAvoy destroys this role. He is so believable in every character that he is. And this is not a spoiler because this film has been out for quite some time. At the very end, Bruce Willis's character shows up, meaning that this film, Split, with James McAvoy, is a part of this Israel 177 trilogy. Fast forward two more years and Glass comes out, which is a sequel to Unbreakable and Split, starring Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, and James McAvoy in all of my favorite roles of theirs. And it still tackles very interesting things. It has a lot more action than the first two films, but it's not your typical superhero movie as well. It more so tackles the superhero genre and comic books and the movie industry. You should definitely check it out. All of these films, I think, are available on HBO Max. At least Glass is, for sure. Check it out. Let me know what y'all think. The visuals are amazing. The score is amazing. I love all three movies. I own all of them on Blu-ray, so I might check them out right now after this because I'm getting excited just hearing about them. They're my favorite superhero movies that are not technically superhero movies. I also wanted to recommend What We Do in the Shadows, a comedy vampire mockumentary on Hulu. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's only two seasons. It follows four vampires and their familiar. A familiar is a human being who is like a slave to the master. All five of them just do hijinks. They're supposed to be taking over New York, but they're doing a really bad job at it. They go through vampire culture. They have a lot of fun. They do a lot of hissing at each other. It's very, very funny. It's created by Taika Waititi, who did Thor Ragnarok and Jojo Rabbit. There was also a film, What We Do in the Shadows. I've actually never seen it, but I love the show, so I really want to check it out. Let me know what you guys think about all those recommendations. Let me know if you see Israel 177, any of those three movies, Unbreakable, Split, and Glass. And let me know if you check out What We Do in the Shadows. It is a great comedy show. If you need a laugh, check it out on Hulu. That's all I really had to talk about today. Let me know what you guys think. Did you guys check out the Snyder Cut trailer? Did you like the Justice League casting? Are you excited for any of the new shows, Wonder Girl and Painkiller? I told you it was a heavy DC episode. I told y'all from the beginning, so I'm sorry if y'all are not DC fans. Personally, I'm a Marvel fan first, but I appreciate DC. Let me know what y'all think. If you like the show, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean the world to me if you're listening to it on there. And give us a like on Facebook at Live Action Remake, or follow us on Instagram at Live Action Remake. Put a lot of the more important news on those pages, so be the first to hear about it. And that's all I really had today. I hope you all have a good one. Stay safe, wear a mask. Yeah, do what you love.